Hello, team of fans. Tonight we're discussing Season 6, Episode 16, Triggers. Stay tuned!
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
Hey, y'all!
Hey!
So we're talking teens, we're talking wolves, we're talking...
Yeah!
What else are we talking?
All the things.
And you like
near
teens.
Misses.
And you like wolves. So that's why you're joining us.
Good hits.
We're being messes. Wacky. We're feeling wacky today. Happy that you all have decided to join us, even though it's Labor Day weekend.
Yeah.
And you're probably interrupting your barbecue to be with us. So thank you. You can follow me at Cinematic Escapes.
Cinematic
I'm Kristen
Escape.
Elizabeth Snyder. Elena Jordan, where can we follow you?
Hey, you can follow me on Twitter at Elena Jordan and on Instagram at That Elena Jordan Girl.
Yeah.
Look at that.
And tonight, we're talking Season 6, Episode 16. Triggers. And something about this evening has triggered me to be like a little bit southern. I think it's my orange.
It's my Alabama. I'm just rubbing off on you.
I think it's your Alabama. It's also, I think it's my like farmer shirt. I got this like bright orange farmer shirt on, and it's trending my favorite color right now.
See, I'm roll tide though, so that's Auburn.
Oh,
we'd be fighting.
We're fighting. All right,
but not quite as intense a fight as what went down on Turnwolf
yes!
tonight.
Tying it back.
It was war.
It was full war.
What was up with Edgar and Gabe and that whole scene? So we find out that, like, Gabe was a coyote, and then we get, was it?
Edgar.
Okay, Edgar was the coyote, and then is it Gabe that strangles him? But is it also Gabe that puts the spiders in him?
So what it is, no, so there's the two different students, and we've been wondering, like, what's going on here? Like, why are they so super angry, anti-whatever. Mm-hmm. So last time we saw the spiders go into his mouth, and then this time he's saying, you know, we're not just looking for a coyote. We want somebody who can do more than just shift. Somebody like me. And then he grabs him and puts the spiders in him. So that means that somewhere, which I'm thinking is Liam, because Liam's doing all this weirdness.
You think there's a spider inside him.
I think there's something in him. I think it's like the Ankiite or whatever is doing weirdness.
Yeah. Anukate. I think you're right, Elena, because we also saw Theo. Remember earlier in the season when he had that spider in him and he kind of yanked it out?
Yeah.
So it might be in Liam and he just doesn't know because the Wild Hunt's clearly affecting him.
The Wild Hunt's doing weird stuff to everybody, so nobody is safe. Poor Edgar, though.
That was disgusting.
I know. We finally get to see this, like, cute little redhead boy, and he, like, walks in and then just immediately dies.
He looks like Ed Sheeran when he was younger.
Yes, he does. See?
Okay,
apparently
I'm in your shot.
Yeah, it's all right. Hit me with your best shot. Fire away.
Hit me with your best shot.
Fire away.
We're going to have to do some karaoke, Elena. That voice is good.
But what wasn't good is what happened to poor Edgar, because he gets all these spiders at him, and then he dies a horrible, violent death.
Did you ever
with
see...
With all these spiders coming out of his eyes and his nose and his mouth.
Did you ever see the old Candyman? Because that's what this is reminding me
of.
The bees.
It's so much... Not the bees! I'm sorry, that was Nick Cage. But...
That's what this is reminding me of.
That's 100% what it's like.
Yeah.
And then Monroe sees it, and we see just how callous she is when she's like, get rid of it.
Isn't
Kill
that
it.
Terrible? She's the guidance counselor. She's supposed to be protecting these
the
kids.
The misguidance counselor.
Yeah. And she is like, you know, put him out of his suffering or take
Not
care
even
of
his. It's.
It's
she doesn't
suffering.
Even consider it like
a person anymore. And no one's like, he's in my class, though.
He's in my trig class.
That was
I'm like,
really
Nolan,
sad.
Have you not figured out by now? Like, y'all are stabbing people. You're killing kids. You're chopping their tattoos off.
Wow. Yeah, that was nutty. But I do think that Nolan's starting to gain a conscience as his friends continue to slowly disappear. I don't think he wanted it to go this far. And now that it is, I feel like he's thinking it's a bad idea. But he's also in a bad situation because he thinks that if he doesn't do it, then his life's in danger.
His life's in danger anyway. I'm like, Nolan, you done messed up, kid.
You done messed up, boy.
Don't listen to Monroe.
Yeah,
she's not
she
helping you get
go.
To college.
Monroe needs to go.
That's all I'm saying.
Mongo. That's what we're going to call her from now on.
Hashtag
Mongo. Hashtag Mongo. So this was an interesting team up. We had Liam and Theo. I loved seeing them together.
Yeah.
And it was like Theo was actually being his big brother. They sort of play this joke on Nolan to lure everyone away from the armory so, like, the pack can do their thing. And in the meantime, they're at the L.A. Abandoned Zoo, which I still have not gone to. Have you gone to that?
Yes, I love going to the L.A. Abandoned Zoo. We have to go and, we'll do a Teen Wolf photo shoot.
Can
there.
We do a Teen Wolf 100%. Photo shoot?
100%. Me, okay. You, and Ryan, we're going to go there, and we'll reenact this scene for you guys because we know exactly where it filmed. What I love the most, too, and every time they make references to Hill Valley, it makes me so happy because it's a reference to Michael J. Fox, who starred in Back to the Future. Hill Valley was the city in Back to the Future.
That's funny.
And he was the original Teen Wolf.
Right.
So they always make these Michael J. Fox references. And I'm like, I see you writers. I see what you're doing. That's funny. I got it.
I like that. And so all the hunters are drawn to the zoo as Liam and Theo get in this fight and they start calling out Malia and Scott. It was a pretty brilliant plan.
It was really smart.
They call Gerard and they're like, everyone's here. Come. And that, of course, alleviates the pack are then able to go in the armory while Gerard and Monroe go to the zoo with the decoy.
But I feel like they're in the car, and Lydia, because before they bring all of the hunters, before Theo has the good idea to, hey, there's only two of them with Nolan here, let's start yelling out each other's names and fake fight, which he then turns into a real fight. But Lydia is seeing all this weird stuff happening in the car.
She didn't say anything. She's like, okay. Sweetie,
anytime that you see crazy stuff going down, when has it ever ended well when you don't intervene or say something?
Yeah.
Speak up, Lydia.
Say something, I don't know the words.
Say something,
I'm giving up on you. That's what
wide.
It is. Yeah, say something, the glass is breaking through.
That was good. I like that.
I don't think it was.
It was, though.
I'm better at 80s songs.
Which is funny, too, that we see the glass kind of cracking in, the spider web pattern, and we see all the spiders everywhere. So
I like that.
Yeah.
Nice. So I like that Theo comes in here and he is like, hey, Liam, we're supposed to be decoys, not target practice. Because Liam wants to, stay and fight Nolan and fight Gerard and Monroe and these, 20 hunters that they have drawn away from the armory. So thankfully, Theo doesn't leave Liam there, which I was really happy about because he took off and it looked like, the beta was in trouble. We got that whole speech from Gerard saying, this is what hurts an alpha. This is going to be Scott's downfall, is killing his beta. But you know what? I think Gerard has a heart for Scott, and he doesn't want to kill Scott. I think he likes him, and I think he will.
Know.
No, I think he still likes Scott, because he wasn't even, concerned about Scott being at the armory.
I think that he's just trying to mess with Scott more than anything, because he even says, a beta to an alpha is like a child to its parent. Mm-hmm. Imagine if you went up to a parent and snapped their kid's neck and left it at their feet. So I feel like he doesn't just want to kill Scott. He wants to mess with him. Because this is also who he feels took his daughter and his granddaughter.
True.
So he blames Scott for basically taking his whole family from him.
Yeah. I don't know why I thought, but I felt like he wanted to kill all the supernatural but Scott. But I see where you're coming through with that. But
I also just wants to mess with him.
Yeah. I also like what you said. And also what he said to Monroe later on, and was like, that whole alpha beta plan, don't think that whole story has to do with you and me, because he's basically
don't
saying,
get it twisted, I will throw you under the bus if needs be.
That was crazy.
Why would you side with somebody like that when they're like, oh, the worst thing about these people is that they're so loyal to each other and they always want to help each other. I'll hang out with the group that's like, you can die a violent death, we're fine with it. Nolan can die a violent death as long as he takes one of the other weirdos out with him. Really? Really?
Yeah.
You're okay with this?
Yeah.
Monroe, make better choices.
Come on, woman. Come on.
Call another guidance counselor and get some guidance, ma'am.
Seriously, she needs to go back to school or something because she's just not helping that school at all.
No,
she's
not helping
anybody. Fired.
I do love, though, that Liam, too, talks about the Mykonos, the Greek island.
Yeah.
And how he always ties. I always feel like I'm getting a little bit smarter when I watch this show. Because I'm like, it's not just awesome plot line of, fighting and awesome kids being awesome. Give us a little history lesson.
I agree, yeah. And he was talking about how they could get lost because it all keeps leading into each other, all the tunnels. I really like
it.
Is
anybody at the school ever going to get into college? Because I'm like, poor Nolan, failing his trig test, not being able to focus. Liam knows everything about history, but he's too busy punching walls and trying not to die.
Yeah.
It's like, at some point, they need to take their SATs.
Maybe. they might need to do that. And how about Liam hallucinating and Brett coming back? Cody St. New, who's joined us a few times.
Yeah!
It was nice to see him.
It was good to see him. I saw his name in the credits, and I was confused when it was opening. So I was like, how are they going to bring back this dead man? They did it in a very good way.
That was really cool. But I feel bad that Liam is, like, being affected by this. And he obviously feels responsible for Brett's death and his sister.
Mm-hmm.
So that was sort of sad, but it was nice to see Cody again on screen.
But it was kind of cool, too, seeing him, you know, basically literally berating him, hitting him with all these lacrosse things, saying, this is what it's like to be part of a team. So we know, and we see Liam get really angry, and that, as Theo later explains, is that he gets angry whenever he's scared. And so it's this creature that's affecting everybody, and this is how bad it's affecting Liam. But it's like, man, to have your team turn against you like that and have it just rubbed in your face that these are the people you've tried so hard to defend and to help, and then just the blatant, this is what it's like to be part of a team.
That was rough.
Awful.
That was not a good hallucination. And then he wakes up, and Nolan's, of course, there ready to kill him.
I'm like, can they just ever hallucinate something nice? Like,
but it seemed like Nolan was feeling bad about it and, like, didn't want to hurt him. Did you feel that, too?
Yeah, because he's I mean, he could have just shot Liam when Liam was freaking out. And he's even says, you know, I don't, he doesn't flat out say, I don't want to kill you. But he says, she wants me to kill you. She'll kill you. She'll kill me if I don't.
Yeah.
So at this point, like, Nolan has realized, I picked the wrong side. But now I'm in it too deep, and I'm going to die if I don't at least adhere to what they're saying.
I feel like Scott's pack would take him in but not trust him. Like, they'd protect him at this point, maybe throw him in a jail cell with Stalinsky.
But I feel like that's how they were with Theo for a long time. And now Theo's kind of proven himself. So it's like, Nolan could potentially redeem himself.
Come back, man.
If Monroe or Gerard don't kill him first.
But I like what Theo... Good point. I like what Theo said. I think, actually, the pack might save him. I think you're right about that. They could possibly save him from Monroe and Gerard. But I like what you were saying before about the Wild Hunt affecting Liam so much. I mean, if it can affect an alpha, what's it doing to the townspeople? How much is it affecting them? And then, we have this Anukate is the thing. What do you think this is going to, like, show up in the form of a person? Or is it, like, these spiders that get in people?
We saw the faceless corpse that was kind of the physical manifestation of it. And then we saw it kind of dissipate and turn into the spiders that went into people. So I feel like it really is just whatever amalgamation of fear.
Right.
Whether it's
that's a good
spiders
word. I like that.
SAT vocab. Amalgamation. Use it on your test, Teen Wolves.
Can you define it for us?
Amalgamation. A coming together of various things.
Oh.
Amalgamation. Various things leading into one kind of cohesive
amalgamation
thing. Yeah.
I don't know if I'll remember it, but I appreciate the lesson. Thanks, Elena Jordan.
Yeah.
Come to Elena Jordan for all your SAT needs.
Don't. You'll fail.
So, I guess before we talk about the pack at the Armory, I guess we should talk about our live read this week. We're talking about Leah Remini and her new show. It's basically anti-Scientology, right? So, it's Scientology in the Aftermath. It's on A&E Tuesdays at 9, 8 Central. There's going to be new episodes. You were saying you heard about it, and it's supposed to be really good?
Yeah, I saw some clips from the show because season one has already aired. So this is Leah kind of talking about her life as a Scientologist and then leaving the Church of Scientology. So it's pretty interesting seeing...
Wow, well, I admire her bravery then.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
The different kind of...
She's, like, facing a movement by doing that, honestly. I mean, Scientology was crazy. I watched the HBO one, and this sounds really good. I want to watch this, too. It sounds like you can catch up on episodes that are on the A&E app at aandtv.com right before the new season. I don't know. This sounds really exciting. It also explores the accounts of former members whose lives have been significantly impacted by the church's practice. So that's exciting. Yeah, go ahead on to aandtv.com/show/Leah Remini, and you'll be able to find the Scientology Aftermath show. It sounds really interesting. I'm excited. Yeah. I love, like, when they're exploring movements like this, and this is definitely something that has surfaced and light has been brought on this subject that has sort of had a lot of mystery about it, much like Teen Wolf.
Exactly. Kind of like how here we're seeing people hearing different things and different sides and different perspectives. It's good to get all the perspectives in our real life situations as well.
Definitely. I agree. Well, back to our show. Let's talk about the pack at the armory.
Yeah, the risk versus reward.
Oh, this is so crazy. You know, like you were saying, Lydia was watching the glass break there when they were sitting in the car, and she kind of had these visions and just didn't say anything, which could have prevented everything. But as soon as the decoy works and everyone leaves, of course, they decide to go in. But how about Agent McCall also coming up to Melissa and being very concerned? Yeah. About his son and being like, they have a plan, right? And I actually don't know what their plan is. Do you understand their plan?
Okay, so I get the plan, and I love that Melissa point blank is like, look, you just found out about all of this weird supernatural stuff. Mm-hmm. We've been dealing with it for quite some time, so trust me when I say the kids know what they're doing. They have a plan. Back off. Let them do what they do best, which is saving our asses.
Yes.
I think you're right. I think they could potentially save Nolan, too, just because that is what they do. They save everybody's asses. That's what they do.
They're going to save the town. But, like,
the asses of the masses. They're saving them. Oh,
I like that. So do you understand what they're trying to do here, though?
So what they're trying to do is, because they know that the armory has, what,
we all find these out, 3,000
enough to arm 3,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
So they are going to bring these explosives into these thermite charges. They're going to bring into the armory. They're going to leave these, and then they're going to leave, detonate it, blow up all the weapons,
That's a good idea. Blow up the whole armory,
get all the weapons out. But what they weren't expecting is for Gerard to be one step ahead of them again and already clearing out the entire arsenal. So all the weapons are gone when they get
there. They've been distributed. To the town legally.
Yes. They've just been given out. So everybody in the town now has them, which they don't know.
It's extremely scary. I mean, it's also, like, would you take a weapon? I mean, I guess if you were living in this town, like, you probably would if it was given to you.
Nukate is getting in your head and making you think that you have to basically go against whatever that this thing in your head is telling you is the enemy, even if that's not the case. I feel like that's a really good kind of allegory, too, just for the world of, you know, don't fight an enemy until you know that that's the enemy. Because in this situation, these kids are not the enemy. They've been saving you this whole time.
That's a great point, Elena.
Yeah, it's like, just because something isn't known doesn't make it bad. Learn more about it. Mm-hmm. Don't just arm yourself against the idea of something that you don't understand.
I think you're right.
It's different from what you experience.
I think we do that in our daily lives. I think we definitely put the blame and yell at people who are not the enemy.
Exactly.
So just I think
it's
you're right.
All miscommunication.
Definitely.
So I really like the season that the enemy is basically the unknown and misinformation and
so
misguidance.
Right. Yes.
Bringing in the misguided guidance counselor. This misguidance is what's throwing everybody into
whack. Like they know, Teen Wolf knows everything about my life. So weird. So we find Jang and Tierney. Oh my God.
What's left of them?
What were they doing? They just basically scalped their arm tattoos. Like, I don't get why.
So last episode, we saw them get shot in the back of the car. So we know that they're dead, and we know that the hunters have done it. Mm-hmm. What we don't know is if Nolan actually, I feel like Nolan knows that that is their fate, because he's being really weird when he's being questioned about it.
Well, Monroe told him last episode, she was like, by the way, like, they didn't get away. So, like, he knew that
but
they were dead.
But he doesn't know where they are or, you know, what the specifics are.
Mm-hmm.
But because Scott, always trying to save somebody, catches their scent. And instead of realizing, hey, there's no weapons here. They knew you were coming. This is clearly a trap, sir. Stop doing these things. He goes and opens up the door.
Ugh.
And all that's left are these, like, Doctor Who-esque skin.
It was nuts.
It was a gross.
Good scene. It was disgusting. I can't believe they kept those and framed them and their skin, and they have tattoos on them. It
they
was weird.
They framed their skin tats just to trap Scott and just as an extra FU so that he would know that it was definitely them, even though he could smell and know it was them, cut off their tattoos.
That was so disgusting. I don't even like that they did that.
No, it's so gross.
Yeah. So how about not tripping the wires and Malia, you know, just happenstance ending up on top of Scott?
A lot.
Bow, bow, bow. Yes, exactly. So,
well, because they've got these H2100 that we find out is the Halon fixtures or whatever that basically are designed to put out fire by just taking all of the oxygen out of the air, which also would suffocate them and kill them. Can't just have sprinklers like a normal.
Like normal people.
Yeah.
Nope.
Have to have some sort of suffocation mechanism.
And then we get this whole speech from Malia. I'm not ready to die. I was supposed to go to France. I'm 18. I've never been anywhere. And we haven't made out!
But I do have to say, I'm like, if you don't want to make out with Malia after seeing her go all Catherine Zeta-Jones with all those lasers, I was like, oh, entrapment's got nothing on Malia right now. Like, she's like up in the air, down. If it wasn't for that lock.
Something always triggers the trigger, and it's not usually a person.
No! It's so annoying. I was like, come on.
Yeah, that was really terrible. But I like that we got Lydia and Argent stepping up, teaming up. We got a lot of different team-ups, like Theo and Liam, and then Lydia and Argent that we haven't seen before. And I really loved it. And we got Lydia's badass street fighting skills are back. She kicked a guy, roundhouse kick.
Everybody's kicking ass this episode.
And I love that Argent was like, yeah, I said a bullet can't go through the door. I didn't say a banshee couldn't. That was incredible.
That was awesome.
I'm really sick of, like, her screaming and that being her skill. And so I was really happy to see, like, her street fighting skills come back and her be able to fight for the pack again.
I love... Well, one of my favorite comic book characters is Black Canary, who has the canary cry.
Yes.
But it actually does damage. It busts the hinges off the doors. And we finally got to see that from Lydia.
Yeah.
Because years ago, when we first found out she was a banshee, I'm like, oh, yes, this is going to be, like... Lydia Black Canary. And when it's rare that we see her actually, you know, using the force and pushing her voice to the point that it is like a bullet.
Yeah.
So I love whenever we get to see these moments.
Me too. She is a force to be reckoned with, and I think she needs to remember that she has these capabilities.
Yeah.
Because I definitely feel like they don't use her as much as they could to, like, fight off people.
Exactly.
Like, everyone just stand behind her, okay?
Like,
she's blowing
the banshee,
door down with her scream. I mean, it's ridiculous. What did you say?
Never ban the banshee.
I love it.
You gotta just put her in the front.
So we do get the kiss and a little smile and joke. Yeah,
after they finally get their breath back.
After they get their breath back.
And they lose their breath again.
Yes.
But this time in a romantic way, not in the actual we're suffocating and dying kind of way.
It was pretty cute. What'd you think about it?
I thought it was cute. I liked that, you know, we've had the illusions up to this point. If it had come out of nowhere, I think we all would have been like, what is this? But because ultimately, I've always been Team Stydia.
I know, that's why it's weird for me. It's hard for me. Like,
well,
because
I want Styles and Lydia to get together, and I don't want Malia to be left out, so it makes sense that Scott and Malia would get together.
I guess so, but it's like, it's weird for me, like... I just never have found a case where it was appropriate to date your best friend's ex-girlfriend.
I do wish they would have thrown in a phone call, like a couple episodes again. Like, when he's like, I'm sure that Styles won't mind. How about just give him a little call and be like, hey, things are kind of heating up with me and Malia before anything happens. Just want to make sure it's all cool.
Yeah, I need something. Because
what's the dill pickle? Make sure it's kosher, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's so weird. It's like bro code. It's like pack code. I don't know. But it's still, I don't know how I feel about it. I have mixed emotions. It was really cute, and it worked, but I really have mixed emotions. So we find out that Gerard's plan goes way past, it extends past Beacon Hills to all the Nematons everywhere. He just doesn't want to kill the supernatural creatures in Beacon Hills. He wants to kill them
everywhere.
And he's got the map of the Nematon trees.
Which the one good thing that came out of it was that they were able to steal the map.
Yeah.
And Monroe starts questioning Gerard's authority a little bit because she's saying, you know, you said that we were going to trap him. All of this was going to be fine. Instead, now they got away and they got our map. They're going to figure out what we're doing.
Yep.
So what's our plan? Tell me the plan. I need to know what's up. And instead of seeing what we saw before, the exact same scene kind of mirrored with Melissa and Scott's dad of him saying, you know, I want to know what the plan is. And her saying, they've got one. Don't worry about it. They'll handle it. And everybody kind of just having faith in it. Monroe is now doubting Gerard and wants to know specifically what the plan is. And his only retort is basically, you're not my beta. You're not my kid. I don't care what happens to you. So shut it.
It's getting scary. But let's talk about this last scene. It's kind of like Lydia's vision comes through. And you saw better than I did. Maybe you can explain it.
So up until this point, when Lydia is kicking all the butts in the hallway leading up to it, she gets a flash in Scott's house where they're hearing the gunshots and all the shell casings falling and the windows being blown out, and she doesn't quite know
when it's gonna happen.
Yeah, like what to make of this. And then when they have the map in Scott's house, she then puts it together. It's about to be right now. All of these people, everybody in the neighborhood all has guns.
They're all armed.
They're all armed with misguided information.
I like that.
Shooting blindly. Mm-hmm. And so she says, everybody get down, pulls everybody down, and then chaos reigns and havoc is wreaked, and everyone's shot at.
Right.
We see all the broken glass. We see Scott kind of hunched over looking. And then we just see a bloody hand reach up. We don't know whose hand it is. We don't know how bad they're hurt. We don't know if it's, you know, just some surface something. But we know that it's not Scott or Malia because we see them on next week's.
Yeah.
The little preview for next week.
Should we roll into predictions?
We can roll into predictions.
Let's do it.
You want to roll?
Yes, let's roll into predictions.
And now...
It's happening. I'm feeling what's happening next week. It's all coming. Whose hand was that, Lena? Tell me.
I don't know. All we do know is that Deucalion is coming back.
Ooh. You know what? I should really call him to come in studio with us. Gideon Emery. So funny. Always comes in when we call him. So I should see if he's available.
And all we know is that from the one line that we see for the next week on is that Scott's saying, we got to stop Gerard. And Deucalion says, by now you should know, stopping him means killing him.
Ooh.
So can Scott take a life of someone that he knows
deserves it? I don't think he will. I think Argent's sort of part of the pack in a way, and I think that Argent will, if anyone, kill his own dad. It's going to be like a Luke Skywalker kind of business thing. I don't know.
No! That's impossible!
Sorry.
I don't know. It's going to be weird. I have mixed emotions. I really don't know whose hand is that.
I want Gerard to get turned. I just want him to become supernatural.
Yeah, I think that you're right about
that.
That would be the best thing.
I don't want him to die. I want him to become like
the enemy in his mind.
I want the Anukite to just be like, he'll do, and just...
Yeah, I would like that. Spiders would look good coming out of Gerard's mouth.
I agree. Instead of the normal mess that comes out of there, am I right?
Yeah! whose arm, if you had to predict, do you think that is? I'm kind of leaning towards maybe like Scott's dad, maybe? Could be his dad. His dad was there, right?
Dad or Melissa. Because she's the nurse. So that's like, how do you save the healer? How do you heal the healer?
That would be too much for me. But we can like kill his dad.
I don't think anybody's dead.
So whoever
it
is,
they're
just
an injury.
Okay.
But it's enough that they're like, okay, we're aware of our mortality. This has gone too far. The whole town is against us.
That's why if it was FBI agent McCall, it'd be better if it was him.
Because
if he's hurt.
Then he could be like, hey, FBI, this town's gone cuckoo banana pants.
Calling in backup.
Yeah.
Get in here.
But then imagine if the FBI shows up and then the Anukite is like, boom, fear.
To the FBI, that's like, giving a weapon to a weapon. Oh, yeah, yeah. You're so funny, Elena Jordan. where can I go and see more of your funny? Like, where can I follow you and see more of this hilarious Elena Jordan? Also, I heard you recently went on a trip. Did you post about this amazing con?
I did. I was in Hawaii for the amazing Hawaii Comic Con this past week. So it was really fun.
How is that different from San Diego Comic Con?
This one I really like because it's very fan driven, and San Diego Comic Con is really, really big. It's almost too big
for
its britches a little bit. Like, it's kind of hard to get really close up with any of the the celebrities or anything.
So do the celebs all fly to Hawaii and do the con?
Yeah, they come and hang out. What? For the Amazing Con, it's really cool, too, because they'll do pre-parties and stuff, and a lot of the special guests will come out and hang out, and a lot of the artists and everything, so.
That's awesome. Elena, I am heading to Hawaii Comic Con with you next year.
Boom. They do one in Vegas, too.
Okay, we're going to Vegas now, too.
Hopefully these guys are lucky, and they all survive. And then we can celebrate their luck by going to Vegas and having more luck.
I would love that.
Except for I lose money every time I go and gamble. I'm bad at it.
I don't even gamble. I just go for like the pool parties and I relax. I'm like,
see,
not
that's
much
a smart
for
way
risk
to do
taker.
It. See, that's what the townspeople should do, man. They should stop taking gambles.
I know.
They should all just go to the pool and relax.
Low risk, high reward.
Go
to the pool. And on that note. You guys, I think next week we might have Dylan Sprayberry's sister. She is in this season, so I think she might join us. I might give Gideon Emery a call. Who knows who our special guest is going to be? We've had some weird weekends here. We've got Labor Day, everything going on.
But it will be special.
But it's going to be special, and that's why you should tune in. And thanks, Elena, for being here tonight, being my lovely co-host. Where can we keep up with you?
You guys can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan and on Instagram at That Elena Jordan Girl. And you can also catch me back here Tuesday night. We're going to be kicking off American Horror Story.
Ooh, what season is that in now?
This is season 6 now, I think.
Oh, wow. Same 7? Season as I don't know, 2, a lot. Maybe. Yeah, they've had a lot. They've had a good run, that show. All right, guys. Same time, same place next week. You can follow me at Cinematic Escape, and Cinematic I hope you Escape. Do. Bye, guys. Have a great
Bye.
Week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz
you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.